was slightly less than 1 year ago that I put my oldest daughter on an airplane to Brazil, August 22nd to be exact, and approximately 3 weeks ago on July 8th, she returned home. Not that I was counting down the days or anything. Through those intervening months, you all were extremely supportive, and you expressed interest and encouragement to me and through me to Liz. So I thought that you might appreciate an opportunity to hear her share some descriptions, some insights, some observations related to her experiences. She will be placing those experiences in the context of her faith and our faith this morning. Her name in Brazil was Elisa, and we tried hard to get it right and call her by that while she was there. But now that she's home, we've completely reverted to calling her Liz, and so we welcome her here this morning.
I'd like to start by reading Matthew 25, verses 35 and 40. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. So yes, I did just spend the past 11 months studying in Brazil. This was my junior year at Middlebury College, a liberal arts school that attracts students for its great international studies and languages programs. I began Portuguese my first semester and soon decided on a Latin American studies major. They figured that a major in Latin American studies is incomplete without actually living and studying in Latin America. So we're required to go abroad for at least a semester, and I decided to stay the whole year. I spent the first semester in Niterói, a city across the bay from Rio de Janeiro. Then I had the opportunity to travel for 2 months in Brazil and neighboring countries. And my second semester was in Florianópolis, an island city, actually quite similar to San Diego, in the southern region of Brazil. And I had so many memorable experiences, I won't be able to touch on all of them here. So if I had to find a unifying theme of my whole year abroad, what comes to mind is the incredible degree of hospitality that met me every step of the way. My International Studies 101 class had prepared us for the anti-American sentiments we were likely to encounter all over the world. Our handbook told us not to wear American-looking clothes or speak English in public. Blending in was certainly an crucial part of the process of getting to know the language, the culture, and the people. But I didn't have to be worried about people being hostile to me. They welcomed me in excess. They often did so actually not in spite of the fact that I was American, but because of it, I found. They were, when they saw someone living and studying amongst them, eating and dressing like them, and wanting to converse in Portuguese, they were so happy to find someone they considered an exception to what they perceived as the rule of Americans as all ignorant and arrogant. So they were thrilled. They always took me in. Hospitality is a big theme in the Bible, both the Old Testament and the Gospels. In the Old Testament, the Hebrews learned to be welcoming to strangers after their extended experience of strangers themselves in the wilderness. We can read in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you are aliens in the land of Egypt. Then in the New Testament, we learn that hospitality is about treating and welcoming people in the way Jesus did. Jesus was always in the company of the poor, the sick, the marginalized. He preached to everyone. He accepted the children to his feet when the disciples wanted to turn them away. And a brief story from Mark 3, starting with verse 31, then this really reveals Jesus' expanded sense of family. Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you. And he replied, Who are my mother and my brothers? And looking at those who sat around him, he said, Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. This theme of welcoming that is really so important to a life following Christ runs strong in Brazilian culture. Brazilians have always been proud of their reputation as extremely hospitable, warm, and open, and I will certainly serve as witness to this tradition. My very first day, I arrived at the door of my host family's house, and lunch was waiting for me on the table. They really opened the house to me. They made me part of the family, helped me get adjusted to Brazil. They brought me along to the beach to soccer games in the world's largest stadium, and they took care of me when I was sick. The students at the local university where I was studying made themselves available to the foreign students, recommending classes and helping us with homework, making sure we knew about the parties and events on campus. Perhaps just to get a laugh at the irony, they even welcomed us Americans at the nearby bar hangout, Bin Laden's Cavern. The student movement political activist kids had me lettering their signs as we argued about socialism, communism, the potential for revolution. They, of course, wearing Che Guevara shirts and sporting large beards. Besides taking classes at the university, my program set up an internship for the four of us, the four students from my college, and I was placed at a community foundation in a poor neighborhood that's set up to help needy people in various capacities. There, a group of young at-risk kids welcomed me into their classroom as I attempted to teach them some English, or at least keep them entertained 2 days a week. That work was very challenging, but it was ultimately rewarding, especially in the interactions I had with the kids and the look that gave me into the miserable conditions that a lot of people in Brazil have to live with. Outside of my classes and my internship, my American friends and I signed up for capoeira classes, which is a Brazilian martial art with African roots. The crowd from class took the time to help us out and keep us on track. We were invited to capoeira events and parties, further expanding our group of friends. I even managed to find time to go to church, in fact, the United Methodist Church, a few blocks from my house. On the left, I'm with the pastor of the church. They received me enthusiastically, delegating people to call me and pick me up for church events, such as soccer and barbecues. The barbecue being the staple of Brazilian social life. Yes, I managed to stay vegetarian the whole time. I learned to barbecue cheese and bananas instead of large chunks of meat. The other main social event besides barbecues was going to the beach. That became a standard activity of mine with the other American students doing the program. The cool kids on the city beaches even grew to accept us as one of their own, but only after we acquired Brazilian bikinis and began drinking coconut juice. It was unrealistic for me to come home for Christmas after my first semester, so a friend's Brazilian family welcomed me to their celebration. I was surprised to even receive presents on Christmas Eve from Santa. January and February were summer break, and I met up with some friends from college, and we traveled by bus all the way up and down the coast of Brazil, then into Uruguay, Paraguay, and Argentina. I survived 29-hour bus rides, living out of a backpack, and the pretty serious lack of privacy one encounters in the youth hostels. But in return, I explored the most beautiful and historic colonial cities in the Brazilian Northeast. I saw Iguazu Falls, as featured in the latest Indiana Jones movie. I walked the streets of Montevideo in Buenos Aires, and I went horseback riding in the Andes Mountains. In my months traveling, we made a ton of friends in the hostels, some of whom I continue to stay in contact with, especially two Argentine girls that we met in Brazil who later invited us to their home when we arrived in Buenos Aires, and they're in that picture. When I finally settled in my second host city, Florianopolis, I was impressed at how completely I was able to integrate with my surroundings due to my and everyone else's openness and propensity to befriend. I lived in an apartment near campus in a complex with about 40 other students. Our landlady had an open-door policy, frequently inviting us to meals and snacks, birthday parties, other get-togethers to make sure we had a place where we could really feel at home. Those are some tips from the apartment. At the new university, I started taking history classes, and one exciting group of history students immediately embraced me, involving me in their traditional initiation event the first week, and then proceeding to bring me along to everything from the ever-present barbecues to the school cafeteria to various costume parties. I became such a part of the group that I was even on staff at history-sponsored events, and I appeared in official class pictures. That's me in the center in the blue dress. My history friends like to call me Yankee, but in a friendly tone, and many people told me that getting to know me had actually changed their perception of Americans, because if someone like me, who knew so much and cared so much about Brazil, could actually exist, then Americans couldn't all be the ignorant, arrogant people they had always imagined. My other great success story of integration in Florianopolis was the university futsal team I played for. Girls' field soccer is actually not widespread, so I found a futsal team, which is a very Brazilian form of mini soccer, played on a basketball court with small ball, small goals, and five players on each team. It's fast and furious, and the Brazilians, especially the men, like to use it to show off their fancy moves. But the girls immediately made me part of the team. I felt very lucky to become close friends with all of them. We trained several times a week. We traveled on weekends to tournaments. They effortlessly made a space for me, and they treated me as a friend, not an outsider. Throughout the year, people often engage me in conversation about comparisons or perceptions between the U.S. and Brazil. They asked about Bush, the campaign and elections, 9/11, the education systems and universities, and what Americans really thought about Brazil. The Brazilian media is heavily dominated by American pop culture, from TVs to movies to music. People would sing along to an entire American classic rock song and then turn to me and ask what on earth they were singing. Young Brazilians always ask if life in the U.S. is really how it is in TV and on the movies. And I tried to fairly dispel some illusions but also confirm some realities. Although I have to admit, I was not the greatest source for some of their questions, seeing as I'm terribly unversed in the ways of The Simpsons, and I had never even seen the favorite television show, Lost. But I certainly think it was so good for them to have this chance to talk to an actual American about these issues that they wonder about and can only glean from the misrepresenting media sources about what are the real attitudes of American citizens. So it ended up being a reciprocal system. It benefited everyone because I came in wanting to be like one of them and welcoming open conversation. They took me into the circle and took advantage of the dialogue. One of my strongest impressions of the study abroad experience is the liberating feeling I got from being an outsider. As a foreigner, one doesn't feel the social restrictions or self-consciousness that one might in familiar territory, in a familiar language with all familiar people. Everything was so different, I felt like I had nothing to lose, and I just threw myself out there much more easily. The rewards were stunning. I went with the goal of learning as much as possible of the language, the people, and the culture. I was there to meet people, so I did so freely. I didn't feel any barriers between me and anyone else. I was able to just strike up conversation in any place. My effort was really appreciated and reciprocated. Since I went in wanting to be welcome, they accepted me full-heartedly, regardless of where I came from, very much in the spirit of what Jesus taught. I think because of my attitude, I was easy to welcome, and the doors just kept opening. This experience reflects the guiding truth from Mark chapter 4, verse 24. And Jesus said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. The measure you give will be the measure you get, and still more will be given you." So I went to a lot of amazing places, met a lot of great people, I got good grades, and I was never robbed. But of all, my greatest accomplishment was when my friend Diego told me I was the most Brazilian American he had ever met. That definitely made my study abroad a success, because Brazil welcomed me, and I was able to make myself a part of it. Thank you.
Jesus encouraged us not only to extend hospitality, but also to put ourselves in a position to receive hospitality. When he sent his disciples out so that the scope of the ministry could be broadened, he sent them two by two so that they would always have a companion. And he also gave them some pretty specific instructions about not taking a lot of stuff. Don't take a big money bag. Weigh yourself down with a lot of extra clothes. You know, don't get too obsessed with the details of what might happen to you tomorrow. Just go to the village, accept the hospitality offered. Someone will surely open their home to you. Stay in that place, and then share with those people what you have learned and what you know about the kingdom of God. And so this theme of hospitality, it can be experienced from both sides, both the giving and the offering of hospitality and the travel through life with an open mind and an open heart. God, in fact, invites us to open our lives and our hearts so that Christ himself can come and dwell with us and within us. One understanding of the word sanctuary, which is this place where we meet here today, churches are often called sanctuaries. One understanding is that it's a safe place for us to be. Another understanding is that it is a place where God can come and dwell and be received in peace. Gracious God, we thank you for all that you have exemplified for us over the centuries of the importance of welcoming a stranger who may in fact be bringing us blessing and good news, for the way that you have encouraged us to open the door to Jesus when he knocks, for the ways that you have instructed us to travel lightly and be open to what blessings we might receive through your grace. Help us ever more increasingly to live joyfully and wisely in this beautiful world that you created. Help us to lay aside all fear or foolishness or destructiveness. Thank you for the awareness that, in fact, we have friends around the globe, whether we have met them yet or not. We thank you for the blessing of being embraced when we are uncertain of our welcome. We thank you for the reassurance that kindness can manifest itself anywhere. We ask you, Lord, to teach us to give even as we have received, with open hearts, open minds, and open doors. As you have loved us, so help us to share your love with others. We are very mindful, Lord, in this time of worldwide economic strain, that many people are suffering from lack of sufficient shelter or food or education or health care. And so we ask that you would guide us one step at a time to do our part in helping to create the future that you have in mind for us and for your world. We know that your eye is on the sparrow, that how we treat even what appear to be the least among us is in fact how we are treating you. So God, help us to live according to the Spirit of Christ. Through Christ we pray now, using the words that Jesus himself taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.